Your Locked On FC Hockey's Scout Series. Bringing you closer to the top names in the NHL entry draft than ever before. Now, here's Kyle Watson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Scout Series. My name is Kyle Watson, and I'm here with Dylan Krill and Dylan Galloway, two of our Eastern Canada scouts, just to look over some of the best Eastern Canada eligibles ahead of the 2021 draft. Dylan, how are you guys doing?
Good, thank you. How are you, Kyle?
I'm excellent.
I'm doing well also.
Let's start at the top of the draft, or at least the top of FC's draft. So we had Owen Power ranked first overall. Now, Krill, I know you're not super high on him, not necessarily that you don't think he's a good player, but you just see that there's players with more upside. Could you explain that a bit for me?
Yeah, so just some of the guys underneath him on my personal ranking, I just view them to have a little bit more of a ceiling and a little bit more, not to say that they're more safe, because I think Power is more of a safe player just because I see him being an easy NHL player. But the other ones, I guess I kind of see them as like for sure, not for sure, sorry. But I see a lot of potential to become stars in the league, where I think Power, for me, in my viewings, I just don't see that in him. I think he's a terrific offensive defenseman with great size and great mobility. But some of the defensive play, some of the things in the corners and things like that, I just wish he kind of battled a little more and used his body just a little bit more and became a little more physical. So just a couple little things that where the other ones below him just kind of proved a little bit more.
Now, Galloway, do you share that sentiment, or are you a little more, are you a little higher on Owen Power?
You know, this year's been so tough, and I think, especially in this top five this year, every single player has their warts. I personally don't have Power as my number one either. I really like Brent Clark. I also really like Luke Hughes and Matthew Beniers, but I think Power fits definitely in that first tier for me. And I think the size, obviously, like we can, you know, talk to the cows come home about how big this kid is and how mobile he is for the size. And I think that will get him, you know, honestly quite far. He's already made, in my opinion, a great choice to stay in the NCAA for another year, develop himself a little bit more, develop those defensive habits, and improve that physical play a little bit more. So I think he's making some great choices that could make him, hit his ceiling. But I agree with Krill. I don't foresee him being a number one. I see him being kind of a number two or number three. And that being his ceiling, but his floor being, you know, a number three, number four kind of thing. Whereas some of the other players, like Krill mentioned, they do, I think, have a higher ceiling. So Brandt Clark, again, has his warts, but I think his ceiling is more that definitive number two Rover style defender with that more high offensive upside, and some of those wheels, the brain. If he can slightly fix his skating, I think that'll go far in both ends of the ice. And I think that for me, that's what makes him, puts him higher on my list than Power. I think you're kind of picking your poison a little bit between those three. It's what you can stomach versus like what they bring to the table. And again, seems like I'm talking down about them, but really it's just, you're kind of picking which wart you want to work on. And I think that Power is the easiest one to project into the NHL as, you know, a future NHLer, all that projectable skill, the size, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you that in a draft where so many players at the top, they all have their caveats. They all have something that the NHL team that drafts them is going to have to work on. And I do think that's why Power will go first overall, because I don't think the Buffalo Sabres are in a position where they're going to pick a project and work on them. I think they need a player that can step in and help them out right now, because, you know, they're pretty torn and they need some help. But I do want to ask, if Power is such a safe bet, he's so well-rounded, that's why people like him. There's nothing really that stands out, but there's nothing really that he's, you know, really, really needs to work on. But Krill, I'm interested, is there one category where Owen Power is at the very top of this class in any of his skills in his toolkit?
I think his best trait is his vision. It's just insane the passing lanes that he can just pick up at the pace he's playing at too. It's pretty special the passes that he can make. But I think, so that's where I think he can get in a battle with kind of Brant Clark, because I think Brant Clark's vision is top end as well. So I think I would have to go with that. Just the vision is just so special on both of them, but maybe Power takes a little bit of the edge, but it's so close that I can't really pick one.
Okay, so we can move right on to Brant Clark. Galloway, I know he's your guy. So why is he your guy? I'll give you your soapbox here.
Yeah, I think like Krill was just saying, the vision on this kid is excellent. He might not be quite as athletic as Power is, especially in a skating stride. It is a little bit wonky. The extension on him is he flails a little bit, but that's something that's easily fixable. And I think that over the season, he actually did improve in his defensive awareness, I'll say. He's a solid skater. He maintains a good gap, and I think he's really, really intelligent as well. And so that helps him really shut down in the neutral zone. When he gets down into his own defensive end, I think that's where he gets into trouble. But that vision through transition, getting the puck, into the zone, controlled carries into the zone are quite excellent. And I think that really translates well to the next level. When an NHL team gets their hands on him and is able to adjust the skating, then I think that boosts him above the other players in this class. Like, you look at a player like Luke Hughes, whose skating is probably his best asset. And he's also an excellent passer as well, fairly intelligent. But you then take that skating skill and putting it into Brant Clark's body. I just think that Brant Clark has the higher vision, intelligence, and then adding that skating and him being able to walk the line, which he already does fairly well, to be honest, makes him incredibly dangerous as a team's Rover style defenseman, and in particular on the power play as well. So that's why I have him as my number one.
Now, Krill, I want to ask you, Brant Clark is such a unique player in the way he plays the game. Like, he's all over the place. He's so prone to just joining the rush, and sometimes you see him, he looks like he's playing forward out there. Is there even a player that in the NHL right now that you can compare him to?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. The height kind of fools me, because, like I said, he plays like a smaller defenseman because he's so offensive, and you kind of see that with the smaller type. But then he's got the size and everything, so that throws me off. But I'm bad with comparables, but any defenseman with great vision, high hockey IQ, and just thinks the game in all three zones, just so smart. His play under pressure is what I find is really, really smart and creative. The way he can just kind of adapt and get out of the zone so quickly and not even need an outlet pass and kind of do it himself. And that's why you see him always joining the rush, because he can just do it himself sometimes. But yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't figure out a comparable, but I guess that's what I'll go off of.
No, I mean, don't apologize. It was a tough question. That's why I was curious what you thought. But I do agree with you guys that I think the way he plays, like, you're right. If you put Luke Hughes' skating ability on him, like, I think he would be undoubtedly the best player in this class. And it's almost like he knows how to skate, and you can see him trying to, like, get that separation on players, but his stride isn't very efficient. But let's move right on to Hughes. The last defenseman I'm going to ask you guys about today, and another guy that, you know, we had him at first overall at FC for a while, until our final rankings. So, you know, what else is there to this guy other than skating? Because you hear so much about his skating, and, you know, he's the best skater out of all the Hughes. He is really, really fun to watch, and how smooth he looks out there. But what would you say his second best trait is, Galloway?
That's also a tough question. I think it's probably his vision with the puck. the reason I say it's a tough question is because he doesn't quite have the same level of vision as like a Brandt Clark, in my opinion. I think sometimes he gets a little bit puck focused, tries to do a little bit too much with it, and then ends up losing it or holding onto it for too long. But I do think that he is an intelligent hockey player. He does have the mindset, and he's just maybe he's got that Hughes confidence in him that you know, he thinks that he can do a little bit more than he probably should at times. So it can be a detriment, but it can also work out really well for him. I think for sure his passing is much, much better than his shooting. I don't like his shot mechanics at all. I actually think he's quite a poor shooter. But the passing plays from the point, the rush attempts, he's really, like I said, really intelligent and more intelligent on both sides of the puck than I would say Brandt Clark is, in terms of his defensive and abilities. He's a little bit better at his gap control. He's a little bit better at keeping guys to the perimeter when they're in the defensive zone on the cycle. Brandt Clark, I find, gets a little bit lost at times. So in those areas, that's why I'd say he's, he was our number one for a while. There's a lot of projectable things about him, and kind of like the power situation. When you have a draft like this, where there's a lot of players at the top with warts in their game, you try and find maybe a safer pick than you normally would. And I think his skating and his intelligence, the bloodlines, the confidence that he has in his own game are projectable skills to me. I think you don't come up along on those kind of players very often. And so I think that's why we had him at number one for so long, but the injury didn't help at all. From my understanding, there's some rumors going around that it's maybe a little bit worse than what we initially thought it would be. So that could keep him out for a little while and hurt his development potentially. But again, it's conjecture at this point. We don't know for sure. And we'll just have to see in the coming years. But that's why I would say that we dropped him down our rankings.
Now, I have kind of an obscure question here, but I'm just thinking Clark, Power, and Hughes are all three guys that, you know, Krill, you said Clark plays like a smaller defenseman. And I've read that even though Owen Power is 6'4", 200 pounds, he's not necessarily a physical player. Now, of the three, which do you think uses the size to their best advantage, Krill?
I mean, I guess I would go with Power there, because I think there are times where he does use his body. I don't think it's just I want to see it every time he goes to the corner, and he kind of backs off a little bit. But no, I would say he is the guy that uses his body the most and the best. Just because, there are the times where he perfectly edges a guy off on the boards and you can't do anything about it because of his size and his mobility. But I guess I would have to go with Power there, even though I do want to see a little bit more. It's just there are glimpses where he does do it.
All right, so moving from the defenseman to the forwards, Galloway, I'm interested, you know, who's the number one forward out of this region for you in this class?
For me, and this is no shade to William Eklund, because I honestly, he's out of my region and I don't watch him enough, but from what I've seen this year, Matthew Beniers is my top forward. The 200-foot game, we saw him at the World Juniors. He was just an absolute stud there. He wasn't, you know, as big of a stud at the World Championships, and he obviously had that injury too. But I think the maturity of his game, plus he's got skill, decent skater, just his all around ability. Again, kind of like that jack of all trades type player that coaches can rely on. And I talk about this a lot every time we're on, Kyle, but I think coachability, I think a player who a coach is willing to put out there in the defensive zone to take a key defensive zone, neutral zone, offensive zone faceoff, a guy that gets that many puck touches, gets that many shifts, is going to be much more projectable to me than someone who the coach is scared to put on the ice at any point in time. And so that bodes well for his development, in my opinion. Getting in those tough situations in a game atmosphere, especially on some of the biggest stages in the world. And I think that bodes well, like I just said, for his development. And I already, like I said, love his 200-foot game, his ability to stick lift, and really grind out, get back on the back check and play in all three zones really, really well.
Now, Krill, everybody raves about Beniers and how much of a workhorse he is. And Galloway, I think you're right in that he possesses all the skills that are translatable. There's a little that NHL teams are going to have to work with him on. But in terms of things that he can't really work on, I'm interested to ask you about it, his offensive ability, where do you rank it? Do you see him as a second line guy, or do you think that he could even be a first line center at the next level?
I kind of view him as kind of I use these two guys quite a bit, like a Pierre-Luc Dubois or a Dylan Larkin, where they were first line centers on their teams, but on a championship team, they're probably that second line center. And that is kind of what I view with Beniers. I think he could handle the responsibilities of a 1C on a team where they don't have the depth there. And that's where I kind of think he is that 2C, and that's where I would project him to be. Just because he is that such a reliable defensive player, but may not be able to put up the points that you want him to every single night, and maybe not create the offense that maybe someone else on your team that could fill the 1C role and that you would like to fill that role. I would view him as a 2C just because of the defensive abilities are so, so structured and everything, but the offensive abilities, it is hard to project just because you do see all the smart things he's doing. And if he's doing all these smart things right now, what is he going to be doing in 5 years where it's going to actually matter? So I could see him being, like I said, a Pierre-Luc Dubois, Dylan Larkin to fill a 1C if needed. But yeah, I think he would be labeled as a 2C in my opinion.
I'm really interested to see which of the centers gets picked first overall. If it's, sorry, not first overall, but which center gets picked first. If it's not Beniers, there's rumblings it could be Mason McTavish, a guy that's kind of always been in that first round conversation, but after his performance at the World U under 18s, he skyrocketed, and now there's rumors of Vancouver taking him. I forget whether picking fifth or sixth. Now, Dylan, do you think that it was a case with McTavish this year that he deserved to be in that top 10 conversation and people were just not getting viewings on him? Or do you think people are getting a little bit out of hand with how much he's skyrocketing up rankings?
No, I don't think things are getting out of hand. I think that his play at the World Juniors was very impressive, but I also think that his play out in the Swiss League was also impressive. If you look at his skating in comparison to his OHL D-1 year, his skating has improved massively, and he's not like a massive dude. Like, he's not like a power 6'6" kind of guy, but he does a great job utilizing his body to protect the puck, get it from the perimeter and drive it to the gut of the ice, drive it to the center lanes, drive it to the home plate area. So I think that he displayed that a bunch at the World Juniors, and that's where, you know, scouts and GMs started licking their chops, looking at this kid who owns that wicked shot already, is highly intelligent when the puck's on his stick, and now has improved his skating. That's just like a stock appreciating like 50% over a year. Like, you're just rubbing your hands together and you're looking at that top five where you're saying, okay, so some of these guys have warts in their game and I'm not 100% sure where they're going to be, but this kid's compete, his ability to use his physicality to get to the dirty areas of the ice, we'll call them, is really impressive. He's not just out there like throwing his body around just to throw it around. He's really driving his feet into the ice, utilizing it, some pretty decent hands for a player that plays that kind of, I don't even want to call him a power forward, but he does play that new age style of power forward that has some skill. And then again, to top it all off, he's got a laser beam of a shot. So He is that more full package. It's not to say that there aren't warts in this game. Like, his skating is not perfect. And like I said, so his size isn't massive. So is he going to be able to actually use his physicality in the way that he's using it against maybe younger competitors at this point? I'm not sure, but I think that all of those skills combined put him towards that the top of that second tier for me.
Now, McTavish is a player that I really like because, you know, you said he's not huge, but he's a bit burly, and he's certainly not afraid to go right up the team's throats and right down the middle of the ice. But Kent Johnson is a player who kind of gets criticized for being hesitant to do that and kind of sticking to the perimeter. So Krill, I'm interested, if Beniers is off the board and you're a team looking for a center, would you rather have McTavish or Kent Johnson?
Yeah, it would be tough because it does, in that kind of scenario, I think it does come down to your development team, if you trust them, and then a little bit of a team need kind of situation too, where if you need that kind of stud that can push play and just kind of not be afraid of anyone on the ice, or do you want that high skill kind of guy where he can kind of create things that you don't even think of yourself? But me personally, I would go with McTavish here. I have him just a couple spots ahead of him, but yeah, I just like the projectability a little bit more. Some of the plays that Ken Johnson makes, I don't see them happening in the NHL. A lot of things that just seem, I don't want to say it, but it kind of seems like he's playing like beer league, where he just wants to try whatever he wants because he knows he can get away with a lot of it right now. But I don't think he's going to be able to translate that well to the NHL. And I don't think a coach is really, like what Galloway was saying earlier, he might be a kind of guy that a coach might be hesitant to put out on the ice because you don't know what he's going to pull. Is he going to do the game plan, or is he going to pull a toe drag and do whatever he wants? But yeah, that when it comes down to the two, I would go with McTavish just because I do like the defensive game more with McTavish over Johnson, and then the shot as well. I think McTavish's shot, just with everything that else that comes with them, when you hear a shot, that's what wins you games, is the goals. So that's kind of what gets me over the edge with the two.
All right. So moving out of that top 10 range into the tier just below, it's interesting to look at the Chicago Steel this year. They had two star players in Mackie Samoskovich and Matt Coronato. A lot of people have them flipped on draft boards. Some people see Coronato as the better player, some people see Samoskevich. So Galloway, I'll start with you. You know, who's the more projectable player for you?
I have Coronato ahead of Samoskevich. I did a deep dive on Coronato, so maybe that makes me a little bit biased because I looked at quite a bit of tape for him. But we'll say it probably a little bit for Samoskevich as well. And a lot of players on that Steel team, because this seems to be a common denominator. But his motor is absolutely ridiculous. He's a little energizer bunny. His feet don't stop moving. But he's also got a great shot, good hands. He's all over the ice. And for a smaller player, he gets to the middle of the ice and gets that net front quite a bit. It's really, really impressive. It's his anticipation of the play. He's really good at finding lanes, at dipping and ducking his opponents and finding those odd plays to honestly get a shot off. He can get the shot off really, really quickly and from tough angles, and he gets it often on net. But yeah, for me, it's Coronato over Samoskevich.
Krill, do you tend to agree?
I agree with a lot of what he says, but I do have Samoskevich a little ahead of him. They're splitting hairs with these guys. Like, for me personally, I just really, really like the creativity with Mackie a little, just a little bit more. Coronado's very, very smart with his vision and everything, and his shot as well. I just think some of the plays that Samoskevich comes up with are just out of nowhere sometimes, and he's finding holes that I don't think other players are finding, and he's just doing it very, very consistently. Even though Coronado was a little bit more consistent with the points. I just really, really like Mackey in the way that he kind of navigates his way through the offensive zone. I think Coronado is, like Galloway said, he drives the net so, so well for a guy with his size. But I really like the routes that Mackey takes, and he kind of changes up his directions a little bit more. But I think that's a little bit of just preference. I like a guy that just shows a little bit more of a ceiling in a little bit of a way. I think they're both going to be terrific NHL players, and I think very effective ones in different kind of roles. But for me personally, I just like the creativity with Mackey just a little bit more. Come on, Galloway.
Now, just to play devil's advocate here, Krill, what do you say to the argument? You know, from an outsider's perspective, someone that's not really familiar with scouting, they look on paper, they see Matthew Coronado, 90 points. You know, Samuskevich, I think he was a bit above a point per game. How can you not pick Coronado first? What do you say to that? What makes Samuskevich better for you?
I just think that he got a little unlucky in a bit of a way. I think when you're watching them, they're both creating so many offensive chances. But I think just Coronado maybe got a little bit more of a role where he was put in a spot that he can kind of be that guy where he finishes off the shot a bit more. But at the same time, like Mackey had those chances as well, but it just didn't happen for him. But if you watch them both on tape, they're both creating so many chances on the ice. But for me personally, I think the more dangerous chances were just coming from Mackey, but that was just in my views personally.
Yeah, and I'll back you up, Krill. I'm just joking around. But, I think they're both going to be incredible players at the next level. I have Coronado just above Samuskevich, so I think that they're extremely extremely close. To be honest, you know, Kyle, like you said, if you look at a stat line, you'd say Coronado is significantly ahead. But I think they're a lot closer than the numbers suggest. And I think, Krill, like you said, the creativity of Mackey is, you know, top notch on that team. And Coronado, the numbers in terms of goals, is if you look at the number of shots he's taken, it's really, really impressive. I think in my article I wrote that he took 406 shots at the net, and about 200 of those hit the net. And I think he had a shooting percentage of about 25%. So he's shooting a lot, but he's hitting his target, which is really, really impressive. I'll have to double check the numbers on that, but I believe that that's what I wrote in my deep dive. If anybody wants to go into the deep dive and leave a comment for us on our YouTube channel, that'd be great. Call me out. But I think that Mackey had some better underlying numbers from what I understand. And I think that both players in their own right have things to bring to the NHL level.
Well, that's an interesting way to promote your article there. Say, go prove me wrong and read it. Brennan Offman from the Flint Firebirds is a player. I remember I won't name names, but there's someone at FC that said, like, I can see this guy being a top five player out of this draft in a while. So he's another kind of wild card player. Krill, in what tier do you see him on your own rankings?
I have him personally in my third tier. I have him personally at 18. I love his game, like the way he plays with such a bite and just annoys the crap out of his opponents till they get a penalty or they just play with frustration the rest of the game. But he just knows how to tick people off and then go the opposite way and into the offensive zone and just pick a corner, like pinpoint accuracy with this guy. His release is very, 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 very quick. And he's kind of getting it off in a position where it's almost like you don't really see it. I don't see it often because it's usually while he's skating. he is shooting while he's standing still, but a lot of his impressive shots are coming while he's skating. And I find that pretty impressive where he hasn't been given that much of an opportunity, but when he has been given that opportunity, he takes advantage and he puts those goals in the back of the net. And then I also like the skill he brings too. I think in the U18 game, he had a in between the leg goal or something like that. Maybe it was a pass, but he just pulls off these very skilled, flashy plays once in a while. So I don't know, the offensive ceiling might be a little bit more than some people see. And with that shot, you can't deny.
Now, Galloway, you're someone who's followed Hoffman for a long time since he was playing minor midget with Shane Wright. I'm sure the narrative heading into his rookie season is, how is Hoffman going to do without Wright centering a line? How do you think he's fared in the 2 years since he played for Don Mills?
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting because he had that shot to Shane Wright's playmaking ability that you know, you were going to say, who's going to get him this puck? Because he's not the fleetest of foot. His skating does need some work, but he is able to get himself open. I honestly think that he's impressed me more than I thought he would, even from his season last season. I remember I was at a Kitchener Rangers game when Flint was in town, and he was pretty quiet all night until he got that shot off, and it was like a firecracker in the building. It was just incredible. The speed with which it comes off the puck, the sound it makes when it comes off his stick, how quick the release is. It's really quite incredible to see him shoot. And like Krill said, his playmaking, his vision and his overall offensive skill has really improved, honestly, over even in this past season when he was overplaying in the Swiss League with McTavish. So I think he's impressed me more than I thought he would. And the other important piece that Krill brought up was the thorn in the side of his opponents that he is. Like you said, he just annoys people. And he gets into those locations where he can shoot and people take penalties on him. So I think that's an excellent trait to have. And like I said, if his skating can improve, then I think that his overall offensive ability will improve even more drastically. I'm not going to put him above, McTavish, Coronado, Samuskevich, all those players. Like Krill, I have him in that late teens, early 20s kind of range. And he's pretty firmly in my, I guess we'll call it my third or fourth tier. He's still a great player, and particularly in this draft. And I could see him, proving me wrong and maybe jumping up into that top 15 kind of territory.
All right. So not everybody's favorite subject. I want to ask a little bit about a certain goaltender named Ben Gaudreau. Some people have him as the number two goalie behind Wahlstedt in this draft, whereas most people have him as number three behind Sebastian Costa and Jesper Wahlstedt. Krill, what about you? What are your thoughts on Ben Gaudreau?
I'll be honest, goalies are my nightmare while scouting. But with the games I have seen of Ben, he looks like he has a lot of potential. Some of the angles he makes and the saves that he makes at those angles, it is pretty remarkable. Like I said, I'm not the best at evaluating goalies, but every time he's out there, he looks very confident at what he's doing, and he doesn't look nervous. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He just looks like he's comfortable, and that's what you want with a goalie. You want someone that's feels good in that position and doesn't look like he's shaking every time he's out there or in a big game, like you saw at the U18s. He was just a solid goaltender that I think projects very well into, I think, a potential number one starter. With the OHL season, you really were kind of just depending on those tournaments with him. So with the tournaments that he played great. So in my evaluations that are poor with goaltenders, I would say he showed up and he proved me right. So I think he's going to be a solid goaltender.
Yeah, there is a lot to be said. You're right. You know, he didn't play all year. He goes into a position as a goaltender with Hockey Canada, which is never an easy thing to do. You know, the first four games, you're not really getting a lot of shots. You always just have to be ready and to face shots cold. And I thought he performed excellently, was one of Canada's best players at that tournament. But Galloway, I want to ask you, what type of goaltender is he? You know, is he a cerebral goaltender where he kind of makes the saves look easy, or is he more of a flashy, you know, stretch save goaltender that relies on his reflexes more?
He's a little bit of a mix, I would say. He does have the he often has the poise of, I'm going to invoke these names, but he's not a Carey Price, but when he does make a save, it sticks to him like Velcro. He has fairly solid rebound control. He sits out high in his crease and does a great job of controlling the shots, getting them to drop straight in front of him and putting his glove on them. He's very poised. He's in control. I watched his first ever game in the OHL, and I believe he got 50 plus shots taken at him in his debut. I believe they won the game. I can't remember. It was a while ago now. But I just remember walking away from that game being incredibly impressed with how great this kid did in net. He was, I think, 16 at the time, saw 50 plus shots and was just putting on an absolute show for everyone. So what you said there, Kyle, in terms of he wasn't getting a lot of shots at the World Juniors, was it U18s? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, U18s. He wasn't getting a lot of shots. And I think that Gaudreau actually might thrive in seeing the puck more. There was something that came out a few days ago that talked about Pekka Rinne and how his success came from the Barry Trotz's style of system, where Pekka Rinne saw a lot of pucks in that system. And then when he went to Laviolette, there was a lot less pucks coming at him, and he struggled a little bit in that system. I think that Ben Gaudreau likes to see more shots, likes to get the feel on his pads, and is capable of playing that athletic style, but his own ability is much more that combination of tracking the puck, seeing it, controlling the rebounds, getting a lot of shots, getting a feel for it, kicking them to the corners, and also being able to have that Jonathan Quick, Henrik Lundqvist, flashy glove save, diving around, rolling all over the place when he needs to. But it's not how he's going to be successful, in my opinion. He is better suited to play that more positional, cerebral approach, like you were talking about.
Yeah, as a goaltender myself, obviously I played at a much, much lower level, but I can certainly speak to that, you know, you're nervous for the first shot of the game because you're not warmed up whatsoever, especially if your players don't warm you up properly in the warmups and they're firing pucks at your heads and not getting your pads warmed up. And you can, there's certainly effect where if you make a couple saves in a row, you're building off of that and you want the play to come back down so you can show off again. But that's all. Those are all the players I wanted to ask you guys about. So, you know, I'll flip it over to you, Krill, first. If there's one player from your region that you think deserves more love, who would it be?
Yeah, I think I'll go with Matthew Nyes out of Tri-City, a winger. He's played a little bit of center, but I project him as a winger. Just a big boy. He's about 6'3" and can skate very, very well for his size. He gives 100% every shift, but at the beginning of the season, he was almost trying too much and just trying to be the number one guy every single time he was on the ice. And I think that's kind of what got him a little confused and why he wasn't putting up the points. But when he kind of simplified his game down and just started playing the game, the points were just coming to him. And at the long stretch, I think in the last 11 games, he was almost 2 points per game, which was terrific just to see out of him. But that confidence, when it's high, he's just remarkable out there. He just owns the puck, and you can't take it off of him because of his size and his mobility. So I think he's a terrific player. And I haven't seen too many people say this, but I think he has one of the best shots in the draft. The way he can get it off, his release is so quick, and the pinpoint accuracy, like I said with Othman, they're able to pick these corners so quickly and out of positions where you aren't generally able to get these shots off, but for some reason these guys just know how to do it. So Matthew Nyes is one guy that I really, really like, and in every single view I saw of him, if he wasn't putting up the points, he was playing a respectable game in the defensive zone and neutral zone and just committing to the play and trying to get that puck back or just trying to cover his zone if that was his duty of the situation. But yeah, Matthew Nyes is my guy, and I really like him. And I think some team could reach for him. I think potentially maybe not in the first round, but I think high in the second round, you could hear his name.
Now, Galloway, I'm interested to hear your answer because you and I have been working on the sideline series, which you can read at fchockey.com, looking at players from the OHL that didn't get any ice this year. So I'm wondering if it's one of those players we looked at that's your underrated pick here.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the Sarnia Sting, Ben Gaudreau's teammate, Ty Voigt. I think had he had a season to play this year, he could have been in the high second round. I don't want to say sniffing that late first, but he is so impressive to me on the puck. He has incredible, incredible mobility. He's really intelligent. His hands are so slick. He's a small player, but kind of like Coronado, he's really good at getting to the center lane. His zone entries, he's very good at rushing the puck through transition, driving the puck in through the center lanes, taking multiple different lanes to get into the zone. And was just blowing me away, honestly, going back to watch his underage year, his draft minus 1 year, watching how he executed with the puck on his stick. So he's a winger, so there isn't a lot of defense to his game. He drives defense through offense, basically just having the puck on his stick and driving it up through the ice. There's not much to talk about in terms of that, but he is one of the better skaters in this draft. And I think because he didn't get a season this year, he's probably going to be undervalued. You could probably look for him in the mid to late second. Even I could see him going to the third because he's so small, third or fourth. And if you get this guy in the third or fourth round, money well spent. That's an incredible pick. It's going to be paying dividends in the future because when the OHL season comes back, we'll see if Perreault comes back to Sarnia. We'll have Benjamin Gaudreau for another year. And then we'll see Ty Voigt. And I think the Sarnia Sting are going to look incredible especially in the offensive zone. Those two players are suited for each other, I think. So whoever's fan base gets this kid, they're going to be stoked to be watching the OHL next year and watching Ty Voigt rep their team colors in the future.
Yeah, the Knights are going to be seeing a lot of the Sting this year with the way things are lining up. So, you know, it's going to be nerve-wracking as someone from London, but also I'm excited to see so many great players. Thank you guys so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys and learn from you guys.
Thanks, Kyle. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. I always enjoy these.
Thanks for listening along. Be sure to keep it locked to FC Hockey, so you don't miss the latest news, notes, and interviews featuring the NHL entry draft.